Well, again, today I want to ask for your prayers as I try to share with you this morning the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to call your attention to the 119th Psalm. And I want to read a few verses from this psalm today, Psalm 119. And I would like to begin by reading verse 89, and then I want to go to verse 97 and read a few verses starting with that. I want to use a title today. I want you to think about the superiority of God's Word. In the 119th Psalm, in verse 89, we find this statement concerning the Word of God. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven." And then beginning with verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me." I love this verse. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I will conclude my reading there with verse 105. And, you know, there is so much in the 119th Psalm. And I came to the realization, really, just a couple years ago. Through the years, I had read this psalm many times and gone back and read different parts of it many times. I've always liked what the psalmist here said about God's word forever being settled in heaven. I've always liked reading the 105th verse where the psalmist said that God's word was a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. But I think that I perhaps just in recent times, just maybe like I said within the last couple of years, really stopped one day when I was reading this and began to really give thought to what the psalmist was saying here about the Word of God and about his love for the Word of God and about the things that the Word of God had done for him in his life, the accomplishments of the Word of God. He spoke about the understanding that he had gained from the Word of the Lord. Now, you know, when God gave to us his written Word, he really gave us something very special. He gave us something great You know, God bestows many gifts, and certainly His written word is a great gift to us. It's a wonderful thing that we have it. And I want to share a couple of statements that are made in the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, the Articles of Faith that we have adopted. And it's the first article is the one of the Scriptures. And it talks about the Holy Bible. And it says in that Article of Faith that the Scriptures, the Holy Bible, that they are a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction. Now, we're going to hear in the course of our day and going through our life, we're going to hear instruction from different people concerning different things, but those men, that committee of men that drafted the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, they said this about God's Word, and I think that we certainly agree with that today, that it is a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction. And it also says that it is the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and opinions should be tried. And you know, whenever that we take our viewpoint on anything, if it falters in light of the Word of God, then it's never anything but an opinion, is it? And so they believed that. They believed that God's Word was a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction, and that it was the supreme standard by which all human action, by which all human conduct, all creeds, and all opinions should be tried. Thus saith the Lord. That's important, isn't it? Amen. I mean, we read that statement oftentimes throughout the Scriptures. Somebody would say, "Thus saith the Lord," and we need to stop there and pay attention, don't we, to what the Lord has to say. Now, Jesus, when he was being tempted of the devil, whenever the devil, at least the things that we have record of, and I don't know what other things that Satan may have thrown at him, but I know that we have record in the Bible of Jesus having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible tells us that he was hungered, and he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil came to him, and he tempted him to command stones to be made into bread. And the Lord's defense was the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. That means it is Scripture. It is thus saith the Lord. Man shall not live by bread alone. And when the devil tempted him to throw himself down, because it is written also that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and that they'll bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answered again, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And then the devil wanted Jesus to bow down to him and to worship him. And again, he used the scriptures. He said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so, certainly if the Lord made his defense against the devil and against his temptations by the use of God's word, then certainly that's a great example for us today, isn't it? But Jesus knew what was written. He was familiar with the scriptures. And, you know, we certainly, as God's people, we ought to familiarize ourselves with the scriptures. We ought to learn the scriptures. And I have, I've said this before, that a few years ago, the Nelson Publishing Company, they published a Bible. You know, there's been all different sorts of Bibles published with different names, the Thompson Chain Reference Bible and many different things. But Nelson published a Bible, and they called it the Open Bible. And I remember when I saw that, I thought, well, that's what every Bible ought to be, open. I mean, it doesn't do us any good if we keep it closed all the time, does it? It doesn't do us any good if all it ever does is gather dust. And so we need to make ourselves aware of the Word of God in order for it to be of any help to us and any benefit to us. So it's important that we follow the instruction that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy when he wrote to him and said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I realize, as all of you do, that that instruction was something that was written to a preacher, but certainly that's good instruction for us all, isn't it? To study to show ourselves approved unto God, to study to know the scriptures. David here spoke about how that it was his meditation all the day. And I believe that that is very important for all of us in coming to know and to understand the Word of God. Meditation is important. You know, meditating throughout the day upon what we have read and what we have studied and rolling it over in our mind. You know, when you're out there working and you are able to stop and for a while and take your break or take your lunch break or whatever, think about the Word of God. Think about the things that you have read. And that's what the psalmist was telling us here. As I go through my day, all the day long, as I go through my day, I meditate upon the Word of the Lord. And certainly that shouldn't be hard for any of us as God's children to do, because we ought to have that level of love for God's Word, shouldn't we? The psalmist here in these verses where I begin there at verse 97, he spoke about his great love for that. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies. Now, you know, we have an enemy. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 that we have an adversary. We have one that opposes us. We have an enemy. And we need God's word and we need God's help in order to be able to stand against him. And David here spoke about his enemies, and he said that it, through God's word, through God's commandments, that God had made him wiser than his enemies, for they are ever with me. Now, he wasn't saying that his enemies are ever with him. He was saying that God's commandments are ever with him. They abide with him through his meditation of these things all the day long. God's word is fresh to him, and it's before him in his mind and in his heart. And we can certainly benefit from God's word through that. And in the 96th verse, he said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And I'm going to tell you something that I really believe concerning the Word of God and concerning those who know the Word of God and concerning those who are able to understand the Word of the Lord. Now, I'm going to say this, that I don't think that people really come to fully understand the Word of God unless their heart has been changed. Because otherwise, it's something that they are trying to understand with their carnal mind. But those who the Lord has changed, those who he has saved, those who he has made spiritual, have the ability through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit to come to an understanding of the Word of the Lord. You know, these things are spiritually discerned. And it takes spiritual guidance to understand it, doesn't it? And so, I want to speak for a moment about the great advantage here that the psalmist was speaking about concerning understanding, having more understanding than others because of his knowledge of the Scriptures. You know, there are what we might say wise people after the flesh. There are many of them in this world, and there have been many of them in this world. There have been the Einsteins. There have been those that have attained levels of great intellect. But I'm going to tell you, I believe the most intelligent people in all the world, I believe the wisest people in all the world, I believe those who have a grasp on reality, the reality of things, the truth of things, more than anybody in this world, more than any of the learned according to secular education, are those who have an understanding of the Word of God. I believe David understood more, and that's the way that I understand what he was saying. I understand more, not because I possess a high ability to learn, or not because that I possess an intellect that's far above others, but the understanding that I have supersedes that of others because it's based upon the Word of the Lord. You know, there sure is a lot of philosophy in the world today. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different views and hold a lot of different philosophies about what life is about. You know, we have heard through the years, we've heard this. Well, if it feels good, do it. You know, if it satisfies the flesh, go for it. Or, you know, if it doesn't seem wrong to you, then it must not be wrong. Well, that's messed up, isn't it? Because the Bible tells us that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You know, people, their philosophy oftentimes about life is that we are here to live it up. We're here to have fun. We're here to play games and we're here to just enjoy ourselves for as long as we live. But I'm going to tell you this, those that understand the scriptures, those that know and understand the Word of God, have an understanding about what life is really all about. You know, life's not a game. And it's not a fantasy. There are more and more people all the world that live inside of a game. Or they live inside a fantasy about life. But I'll tell you what, when God created life, it had great purpose behind it. There were things that God wanted to be accomplished through that. You know, have you ever stopped and just thought about all of the things that you know today and all of the things that you understand today that came from this source, that came from the Word of God? You know, in the Scriptures, we find out that we are a created being. We find that out in the Scriptures. We find out in the Bible, in the Word of God, we find out that we are here because we were created. We find out how that we were created. We find out, we know through the Scriptures that we are but dust, that the Lord formed our bodies. He formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We learn in that through the Word of God that there's more to us than the outward man, don't we? There's more to our being than just the flesh, and just what we see. So we learn through the Scriptures how that God made us. We learn in and by and through the Scriptures why God made us, why that He put us here. If anybody ever has that question in their mind, they can find the answer to that in the Word of God, that to fear God and keep His commandments is the whole purpose of man. It's why we're here. So many marriages in the world today that just fall apart. And way too often, for just trivial reasons, for things that don't amount to anything. You know, for those who are married, the Bible tells us about the institution of marriage. It tells us about the purpose of marriage. And the Bible will tell a husband how to treat his wife, and a wife how to treat her husband, and how they are to live together. The Bible will tell us the purpose for which God instituted marriage, what is to be accomplished through marriage, what is even to be symbolized through marriage. And I'll tell you one thing, you won't ever find anywhere in here that it was ever anything but the union of one man and one woman for life. For life. That's what God intended it to be, for life. You know, the Pharisees, and we read in the 19th chapter of Matthew how that the Pharisees were questioning Jesus about divorce. And they ask him, can a man just leave his wife for any cause? And the Lord began to tell them, he told them no. He said, except it be for adultery, it's not, it's not warranted. And they began to question the Lord, and they said, well, what about Moses giving us a bill of divorcement, a writing of divorcement in the law? And Jesus said, he did that because of the hardness of your heart, but in the beginning, it was not so. Now, has it happened to many people through the hardness of someone's heart? Yes, it has. but God never intended it. He never intended it. Now, that may not be popular in our world today, but it's the truth. It's the truth. I'm going to tell you something. The Scriptures, the Bible, won't always be believed, and it will not always be received, and it won't always be liked, but I'll tell you something that the Word of God will always be. It'll always be the truth. Whether it exposes us or not, whether it shows to us the error of our ways, one thing that the Scriptures will always be is they'll always be true. They won't always make us feel good, will they? God's Word will not always make us feel good, but it will always be the truth. Brother Mike shared with us this morning, if you could imagine this, Brother Mike Wheat told us this morning that the Bible tells us that there's no taste in the white of an egg. Isn't that something? And we know that that had a much, we know that that's not just what Job wanted us to know, that it had a much deeper meaning than that. But we are told, I'm going to tell you this, for God's people, if you need the answers, if you need the answers to the questions of life, right here they are. God gave to us a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction. He did not leave us lacking in anything or in any way. Through the Bible, we know why that man is in the shape that he's in. Through the Bible, we know what God did to redeem fallen man. Through the Bible, we know who it was that came here to pay the ransom for our sins. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, listen, there's people today with much education. There's people today with years and years of secular education. They are trying to figure out what is wrong with our world. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with our nation. And they have all sorts of ideas. Let me tell you something. If they would pick this up and read the history of the people of Israel, they would find out straightway that what is wrong with our nation today is because we are guilty of the same thing that Israel was guilty of, and that is, as a nation, we have turned our backs on God. Amen. And forsaken Him and forsaken His commandments. And you know what? You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to know that. It's written right there in God's Word. And there are people that are saying all sorts of things about what it'll take to get things right, what it'll take to get things straightened out. I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take repentance. It's right there in the Scriptures. It's going to take repentance and a turning away from sin and a turning back to God. You can read about the history of Israel when they would forsake the Lord, the things that began to happen to them and happen among them are happening right now among us today. They got to the point where they didn't even count the lives of their children sacred. They offered them up to the fire god Molech. Well, we've offered ours up to the God of abortion. We sure have. We've been guilty in this nation of the same things that they were. And there's so much more that could be said. But if you want to find the person that has a real understanding, that has a grasp on reality, that really understands life, that really understands what it's about, that really understands the truth about things, you look to the person that bases his knowledge upon this. And there you'll find the wise man. There have been men, and I've said this before, there have been men and women, as far as that goes, through the ages, that never received much secular training and learning at all, that knew the scriptures, and they were the wisest of the wise. I believe that David tells us that in that 119th Psalm, that it's an understanding that surpasses all other understanding. And we need to take what God has given us, and we need to study it, we need to know it, we need to meditate on it, we need to learn it. And I promise you something, that there won't ever be any of us that'll ever master this book. There will always be something new to learn. Even when you go back to, the Bible is exhaustive. It exhausts every subject. And you go back to even something that you have studied and drawn from and gleaned from and learned from before, go back again and you'll find something else. You'll find something new. What a great, only God could have put this together. Only the Lord could have done such a thing. And the Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, and I'm persuaded that he will. I'm persuaded that he will come back. He will get his people. What a great thing that we have, the Word of God. Learn it. Know as much about it as you can. Memorize it. You know, you may be somewhere and you may not always have your Bible with you. Memorize as much of it as you can. And be able at any time when you're in trouble, when you're hurting and you're in trouble, to know that the 46th Psalm in verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, and he's a very present help in trouble. I'm thankful that the Bible tells us that we can turn to the Lord for help. Brother Strode, let's have a song. I'm thankful today. Sister Collins said she felt like she wanted to praise the Lord. I praise him today for his word. I'm thankful for God's instruction to us.
Number 122. As I journey through this veil of sorrow, the way seems so strange and unknown. Lord, I need a helping hand to borrow, for I can't not find the way alone. I cannot find the way without thee. Dear Lord, look down from thy throne, and make thy light to shine about me, for I cannot find the way alone. I have no other friend to guide me, and I am so weak and undone. Walk a little closer, Lord, beside me, for I cannot find the way alone. I cannot find the way without thee, dear Lord. Look down from thy throne and make thy light to shine about me, for I cannot find the way alone.